Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today we're in the book of Colossians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and get the Colossians study guide to help you dig deeper. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, welcome back to our study in the book of Colossians. Today we'll be in day 3 in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And I've titled this lesson, Walking a Worthy Life in Wisdom. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. From the day Paul and Timothy heard, through Epaphras, remember, what the Colossians believed in, Christ and him crucified, they, Paul and Timothy, have prayed earnestly for these believers. And their prayers are specific. They pray for these believers to be filled with the knowledge of his will and to grow in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is a theme that we see throughout Paul's letters. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, we see Paul praying for the specific needs of those believers. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. For the Ephesian believers, their needs were slightly different, but he prayed for both of them to have knowledge and wisdom. While the Colossians' hope was one of the things Paul commended them for the Ephesians, Paul's prayer is that they may have wisdom and knowledge, that they will have that surety of hope that they're called to. See, according to the Bible, knowledge has a purpose, at least knowledge of spiritual matters. The first purpose of having spiritual knowledge and growing in that knowledge is so that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The overall pattern of our lives, the overarching theme from the moment of our conversion, should be that of walking in a manner that brings glory to the one who has saved you. Along with that, we should walk in a manner that is not just worthy of the Lord, but fully pleasing to him. Again, we see this also in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That has huge implications for our daily lives, ladies. Everything from what we do with our leisure time to what we do in our work life should be done in a manner that pleases him, in a manner that is humble and gentle, patient and loving, and the goal should be to maintain unity of the Spirit, the true Spirit, eagerly and without acrimony. This knowledge should also be of use to help us to bear fruit in every good work. The knowledge that we are given by God isn't something we are to consume and then pat ourselves on the back. Now, true knowledge of these spiritual matters, true understanding of the gospel, should move us to action. One way or another, our lives do bear fruit. The question is, are we bearing fruit in every good work? Or are we bearing fruit that is withered and rotten, because we're consuming knowledge that then goes no further than our minds? Also, this knowledge of spiritual matters should increase our assurance of our salvation and of the God who we have put our trust in. This knowledge has practical benefit for us here today, that we might have hope that doesn't perish, spoil, or fade, as we learn more about what we have been saved from and why we needed a Savior. Finally, this knowledge of spiritual matters should increase our knowledge of God. Think about that. The more we understand what Christ accomplished on the cross, the more we understand God's mercy, grace, judgment, and justice. We cannot have a spiritual conversation without it reflecting on Him. It is often at this point that people will refuse to listen anymore. You'll hear them say things like, "Well, I won't believe in a God who would," and fill in the blank. Instead of continuing to seek and learn, and to ask God to help them to understand those hard truths in Scripture, they reject what they deem as repulsive, and they refuse to hear anymore. In doing so, they are fashioning a God with a little g after their own liking, one who does what they give approval to and doesn't dare step on their toes. Paul prays also for them to be strengthened with all power, not their own power, according to His glorious might. Again, the might is for a purpose, this time twofold. The purpose of this power is for their endurance through trials and suffering in every part of daily life, and for patience, waiting for Christ's return and waiting for God's timing as He works all the suffering and pain out for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, and that they may endure and be patient with joy. The waiting and the endurance that should manifest in a Christian is the waiting of one who knows that what they are waiting for will indeed happen. It is hopeful waiting. It is joyful waiting, trusting in God for everything. Finally, Paul prays for these believers to continue to persevere while giving thanks to the Father. There are four specific things that Paul reminds them that they should be giving thanks to God for. First off, God has qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's heaven. God has qualified those who call on Him in repentance and faith to have a share of eternity. Secondly, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness. As Romans reminds us, we are no longer slaves to sin, but to righteousness for His name's sake. We no longer live in the dark, but all darkness is thrown aside in light of Him. Thirdly, we have been transformed from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's speaking about the current reality of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God here on earth. We are part of an earthly kingdom in that way, joined together with other believers for His glory and in His name. Fourthly, we have been redeemed, brought back through Christ. That's a huge deal, ladies. That redemption, that paying of our debt so we could be free, is not something we should think lightly of. That's part of what defines us as followers of Christ. We know that we are but poor beggars telling other poor beggars where we found bread. And finally, we have been given forgiveness through His Son. It's not enough that He would pay our debt, but He canceled it. See, the debt we owed was to God. In Christ paying our debt to God, He paid the debt we owed to Him. And the debt isn't just paid, but it is forgiven and forgotten. 1 John 1 reminds us that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Seriously, ponder all of the things that God has done for us. We have no ability here at all. It all had to be done for us, and God did it. Everything we lack, and we lack a lot of things, is not a lack for Him. We see those ideas also mirrored in Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace which He lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Here's the thing, ladies. God would have been merciful simply to deliver us from the darkness we love and are slaves to, and leave us to keep ourselves out of trouble. But He did infinitely more than that. He didn't merely leave us in a random, neutral state and leave it up to us to be good so that we could tip the scales in our favor. No, He transferred us to the kingdom of His Son. He took us from negative balance, not to zero, but to an infinite positive balance. A favorite pastor of mine once said something like this. This isn't a direct quote, I'm just paraphrasing. God would be merciful simply to forgive, but He did more than that. He forgave, rescued us from hell, and gave us an eternal inheritance with him. That is mercy. That is grace. God gives power to help us continue in faith, resist temptation and deceitful teachers, and know the joy of the Lord. Amazing! There's so much in here to just sit and ponder, isn't there? The thing that strikes me the most, honestly, is that God has done and is doing for us all the things that we didn't even know we needed. Yet he covered it all and took care of all of it. He knew all of the nuances of what needed to happen, and he provided for those needs. From regeneration, justification, and redemption to the continuing sanctification in our lives, God covered all the bases and more. We have been given knowledge of God, too. Anyone who tells you that doctrine or theology don't matter does not understand this. The knowledge and understanding and wisdom, how to apply that knowledge and understanding, that we have been given by God for spiritual matters are very important. Without an understanding of who God is and what he requires of us, how can we know that we have brought him pleasure? How can we glorify him if we don't know what brings him glory? Theology matters. So today, thank God for all the ways he has provided for you today. All the things that you lack, even of the most basic understanding of him, he has provided for you, has opened your spiritual eyes if you are in him. And then ask him to continue to give you wisdom and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Praise God for his mercy and his provision. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on our website, naomistable.com. Lesson 3, Walking a Worthy Life in Wisdom.